Alexandra, the title of your movie, Bombshell, the Hedy Lamarr story, has a double meaning. Mm. Can you explain to the listeners what it is?
Well, if I may, I think it has a triple meaning. Oh. So can I do all three?
Yes, please, please.
Okay. So firstly, obviously, bombshell has always been used to describe an actress who has a certain sex appeal. And Hedy was known as a sort of a sex pot for a while. But of course, that's the name that I think is sort of least resonant for me for this film. The meaning that is most resonant, of course, is that she designed a bombshell. She actually designed a torpedo for the war effort in the Second World War. And the third meaning is that the story is a bombshell. You know, when you hear a story that completely explodes your notions about something, in this case about who invents our world, it's referred to as a bombshell. So I love that word for all three resonances. Yeah.
Now, she was, I think, discovered by the longtime boss of MGM, Louis B. Mayer, and she co-starred with MGM regulars like Clark Gable, Spencer Tracy, William Powell, Charles Boyer, even Judy Garland. Mm. But how did the studio system treat her?
Not well. Yeah. Not well. I mean, she and Judy Garland were actually really close friends. And they both really experienced this first experimental period at the studio where the studio treated them like their property, like chattel. And they were drugged in the morning and at night. They were drugged to go to sleep and they were drugged with amphetamines in the morning to get them going. They called them pep pills. And nobody knew really what that did to somebody long term. But it was disastrous for so many of these stars. They became hooked. They never were able to live normal lives after that. So I think Hedy, unfortunately, was caught up in that grind.
Yeah, we've heard that before, the drugging and about Judy Garland, but I hadn't heard it before about Hedy Lamarr.
Mm. Well, it becomes a big part of her story when you see how it ends.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Now, amazingly, in her spare time, she was an amateur inventor with the composer, I think George Antheil is the way you pronounce it. And she invented a new technology, basically, for guiding underwater missiles.
That's right.
Yeah.
She invented basically a secret communication system between the ship and a torpedo so that a torpedo could be remotely controlled, which was the holy grail during the Second World War, this idea of a remote control torpedo that could hunt down and kill with deadly accuracy any Nazi U-boat that was threatening an Allied ship trying to cross the Atlantic.
Yeah, but you know, great or not, the Navy dismissed it. The American Navy dismissed it. And the idea of telling her she could do more for the war effort by selling war bonds and dealing with this. Is that right?
Heartbreakingly, that is what happened. I don't think the American military was as sophisticated in terms of that kind of torpedo weaponry as the Nazi military was. And Hedy had actually been married to a Nazi munitions manufacturer. So she knew the problems the Nazis were having and she was solving for them. And she was so far ahead of where the US Navy was at that time. And so they didn't understand what she gave them at all. And they dismissed it partly because they didn't understand it and partly because they just didn't think that an actress who left school when she was 15 could really know what she was talking about.
And was the technology that she developed at that time, is it the technology that is now the basis of Wi-Fi?
Mm. It's one of the foundations for Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, GPS. It's called frequency hopping. And the idea is it's a secure communication system because instead of staying on one frequency when we communicate, we hop from frequency to frequency rapidly.
Yeah. Alexandra, Bombshell recalls Lamarr's life in detail, not just the science, but the multiple husbands, a brush with drug abuse, ski resort in Aspen. In Hollywood terms, She always looked like a maverick.
Mm. She was a maverick and she was an unusual mind in everything that she did.
Mm.
And when I included the ski resort and things like that, that initially didn't seem to fit into the narrative, I did it because I felt like it was all her inventive mind cropping up again. She was crushed by the Navy's decision not to use her frequency hopping invention. And for a while, that did seem to really stop her from doing any more inventing. But instead of the inventing, we see her doing all these other things.
Yeah.
And so whenever you see her doing one of these things that I think is her inventive mind asserting itself again, we draw on the screen a bit of, you know, how her mind was working.
I read somewhere that she lived enough life to support 10 biopics.
Mm.
That's true.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. Now, I suppose the film for which she is best known is Samson and Delilah.
Mm.
And... How do you feel about that?
I mean, the film is a lot of fun to watch today, but it can be it's a bit hilarious, you know. It's it's you know, the quote we have in the film is from Bogdanovich. He says, you know, it's so bad it's almost good, and that's how I feel about it.
Yeah. But the thing about it as well is that on a, I think, a budget of about $3 million, it grossed $28 million in America.
Yeah. It was the highest grossing film of that decade, except for Gone with the Wind.
Yeah. And you would have thought then that this might have been a new sort of launching pad for her career, but it wasn't.
It was the ending gong. She was 36 years old, still astonishingly beautiful for the first time in colour. But then almost immediately, I think Hollywood decided she'd aged out. And so she took the reins of her career and she tried to produce. And she really wasn't up to the level of producing that she was trying to achieve, because she just didn't have the experience.
And on the husband's Alexandra, she had 10 or 6, was it?
Six. Husbands.
And the first of them, I think he was an arms dealer.
Yeah, the first of them was this arms dealer for the Nazis, and for all of the Axis powers. He was this guy named Fritz Mandl, who, like Hedy, was Jewish. But he was on the wrong side of history, obviously, didn't realize who he was supplying, and ended up with his own father in a concentration camp.
Yeah. Now, you use relatives, historians, journalists to recount her life and career, and you supplement these by a wide range, I think, of archive film and audio footage. Mm. Were there people who refused to cooperate, who refused to talk to you, who refused to be interviewed?
Only Hedy's maid, who was the person who knew her right at the end when she died, her maid refused to talk to us, which we were surprised at. But she was very defensive about how Hedy died. Hedy died at 86 years old suddenly, and nobody really knows how or why.
Was there a police investigation? Or?
There wasn't. Some people say there should have been.
Yeah.
But I think her children were just, they'd had too much of the media spotlight and they couldn't stomach it.
And she became this, to some extent, a notorious figure throughout much of her life, thanks principally to a film called Ecstasy, in which she appeared in the nude. She had done that, I think, early in her life.
That's right. She was like Kim Kardashian. She came out of, you know, obscurity, bursted onto the public scene with this film called Ecstasy, which actually really stands up to the test of time. It has almost no words. It's a beautiful Czech art house film, not at all scandalous by today's standards. But at that time, being nude on camera and simulating an orgasm was about the most shocking thing you could possibly do. And so it made her a marked woman, but it made her world famous, maybe world infamous.
Well, the invention that she made, spread spectrum technology, it didn't really mean anything to her in monetary terms at the end of her life.
No. And she knew it should. She saw it go into all these different military applications and kept asking, you know, why aren't I seeing anything from this? Because she'd given the technology to the Navy and she was surprised that there wasn't any acknowledgement. But the thing is, Hedy was an enemy alien, according to the United States characterization of her refugee status, because she was Austrian. And so they took her patent as U.S. Property, and that allowed them to do whatever they wanted with it. Can I actually say that this is going to be on a special screening on Thursday? There's going to be a special screening at 6:30 p.m. all across the U.K., and Ireland and Scotland, and we want to make sure that everyone comes out and sees it in their local cinemas.
I'm sure they will. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much.